This is the Punk News Podcast for the week of January 15th, 2013. All views and opinions expressed are expressly those of the persons expressing them and do not reflect the views of punknews.org as a whole. So don't sue us. All right, welcome to the Punk News Podcast Roundtable. I'm Brian Yancey coming to you live, not really, from the jewel of the East Coast, Philadelphia. Suck it, New York. Joining me on the show, managing editor Adam White.
That's me.
That is him. And also joining us is Chris Moran from Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Chris.
The crown jewel of the South, unlike Philadelphia.
You know what? It's funny that you're bringing that up. I didn't really believe it until I moved here, but you were certainly right. We have earned that name.
You know, I will actually take Philly any day over New York, though. Philly's like the coolest, really big, small town. Because it's like, yeah. you can like walk around and like see the same people every day, but it's like, you know, it's a major metropolitan town.
Yeah.
So tell me, as a the consummate outsider to your weird little kingdom that you have down there, aside from like sounding good, why is it Philadelphia? What's wrong with you? Like, what's wrong in the place?
There's just trash on the ground everywhere for the most part. Yeah,
you know, you can fix that with like trash cans and garbage people.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know.
I think most people
here know, at least the people in power know, or just the city government here is kind of broke and can't afford trash control in the same way a lot of other big cities can. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And it's just weird. I've never really seen anything like it, but it's totally a thing.
I'd be really curious to do like a test on the water of the Delaware River versus the James River and see which is grosser. Because as Tim Barry will remind you, in the James, you know, there's Capone in the river.
Yeah, I would not drink or eat anything out of that ever. Came close or touched anything in the Delaware River, for the record. So, and I don't recommend anybody do it either.
I think I have a solution for you here. Now, a few years ago, my now wife and I, we took a trip out to the east coast of Canada. We went to Prince Edward Island, which is an island. It's very quaint. They have red soil and they grow potatoes. And we were talking to the very quaint, red soil loving potato eating lady who had the B&B that we were staying in. And she said to us at one point that there's like a certain day in the year where everyone on the island, like the whole population, just cleans up the island.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that works exactly. Like they all just kind of like walk out their front doors with a bag and pick up pine cones and stuff. Because it was a remarkably clean place in general. But that's what you guys should do. Just, you know, declare like next Saturday, you know, we're going to clean this shithole up day.
You keep your socialism to yourself.
And just, I'm just saying, it's just, you just do it and then it's done.
Fucking Canadians.
Yeah. And then next weekend, we have to do it all over again because nobody listened because it's like so indoctrinated into the society here that people are just going to keep fucking throwing their Doritos bags on the sidewalks after they finish their Doritos. So
fucking Doritos.
You gotta understand, like, Philadelphia to me has always been like the largest city in New Jersey that's not in New Jersey.
don't you fucking dare lump us in with South Jersey. Don't do it. That is the worst place on earth.
That's where I'm from, you know.
No, I know. You guys have like, no.
Is there an amendment about this or something? Is it like the 14th or the 16th or the 23rd? I don't know how many you guys have. Like, usually when you guys do something irrational, it's because there's an amendment that allows you to do it. Is it like you know.
In 1932, Philadelphia annexed themselves from New Jersey.
I'm pretty sure that's true. The math checks out.
We make of history. Well, speaking of old shit, we should probably talk about Bad Religion.
We should. They have a new album coming out next week, True North. Hard to believe, but it's their fifth record since re-signing to Epitaph. Seems like only yesterday they came back, but yeah, I'm extremely pleased with this record. And to me, it's I really, really liked The Descent of Man, but to me, this record seems more. The Descent of Man was good, but it was also very different in that it was almost kind of folky in a way, both musically and lyrically in a lot of spots, which was cool to hear Bad Religion kind of do that. But this feels more like a classic Bad Religion record to me. And I think it's awesome. I back it 100%. You know, they're definitely, as I'm sure for you guys and for a lot of our listeners, they're a pillar band for me and for most of our scene. And I will pretty much always endorse just about everything they do, with few exceptions. So I'm stoked.
I'm just stoked for the return. I've heard a few. In a few of the songs, there is a return of the epic graphinisms. I've heard some yahays and some wachus, and that's always a good sign.
There's some pretty killer graphin vocabulary on this record too. Yeah. Like you know, like you gotta get the thesaurus out in a few of these, which is fun because that's, you know, it's a stereotype, but it's a fun stereotype because it's mostly true and it's not hurtful. And yeah, that's. There are definitely a few on this record where he's gonna, you know, just break out the big words, and that's, I don't know, that's why we love him. But yeah, I'm super pleased with this guy too. It's for some reason when I was thinking about this record last week, and maybe even when we were talking about it in the podcast last week, I completely blanked that The Descent of Man existed. No, I liked it. But in my mind, I think that says less about The Descent of Man and kind of more about the kind of like the trilogy of records that came out once they re-signed Epitaph. So like Process was such a huge record because of the expectations that were on it and the fact that they kind of, you know, they really ratcheted up their shit at that point. And then, yeah. You know, Empire and New Maps after that were still kind of riding on the, oh my God, Bad Religion is not careening into irrelevancy. They're back kind of glow. And that was such like that trilogy was just such a strong thing in my head that, when I thought about True North, my mind just went, oh, this is the first after the trilogy. I wonder if that means it's going to fall off. But no, Descent happened. I don't know how the hell that happened in my head, but it did. Yeah, this record is super good. I really enjoy that it's not trying to be really anything other than a Bad Religion record. There's no questionable, you know, over attempt at making something that sounds bigger or more epic or,
yeah,
you know, incorporating anything, you know, like there's no song on here where, I don't know, Atmosphere is going to do a rap verse or anything like that. you know, there's, it's not trying in a way that's good. Like it's being what it is. It's not trying to be something, I don't know, more artistically relevant than what Bad Religion is, or more, I don't know, with it for the kids or any of that stuff. And not that any of their past few records did that to any huge degree, but this one feels super organic and I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The production on it is really, really good. I think, I kind of like how like austere it is compared to some of the other records, especially like New Maps of Hell and Empire, which I thought had a lot of good songs on them, but the production was not as good as it could have been. It was a little overdone.
Yeah, see, New Maps was a bit overdone. It sounded a little bit too big at times.
Yeah,
But I'm surprised that, I mean, I'm the worst at being able to tell anything about a producer one way or the other, but the co-producer on this along with Mr. Brett was Joe Barisi, and you look at the fact that he's, you know, I'm looking at his discography of stuff that he's been involved with. And all I see on the list that's standing out to me, and he did stuff for you know, for the Melvins, John Gentile, for, you know, Queens of the Stone Age and the Jesus Lizards and stuff like that. But he did Tool. I don't know what he produced from Tool, but my brain equates Tool with overblown nonsense that I don't need to listen to.
Tool's not a bad band, man. Come on.
It's
now.
Not a bad band, but it is totally not what I want to listen to. Like, I get that they are skilled at what they do and that, like, there were certain stoners that I went to school with that were just fucking stoked about them all the time. But I don't know. It was kind of just like I'd hear anything by them and I'd just be like, oh, God, this is overwrought. And
Undertow is a good record, man.
I'm just not going there. I avoided it when it happened. It's over now. I don't have to go back there.
And the videos, anyways, dude. The videos. That's all I got to say.
The thing about Tool that always bothered me when I was growing up and they were getting played on the radio all the time was that their songs were already like way too fucking long. And then on top of that, somehow to me, they seemed even longer in my head than they actually were. So like they would release like a 7-minute single and, you know, like the radio station would play it in full or whatever. And it seemed twice as long to me. And I just couldn't get my head around it. I guess I didn't smoke enough pot in high school. Actually, I didn't smoke any pot in high school. Maybe that was my problem. But
I think that like people that I generally disliked.
yeah, me too, for the most part.
I'm looking at the infallible Wikipedia, and this guy was an engineer on a Tool record and a mixer on a Tool record, but he didn't produce a Tool record, which I'm assuming means he had a little bit less say in how it sounds. So I don't even know why the fuck we're talking about Tool.
We're not. Tool record.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, this record's really great. I'm really interested to see what the reception is going to be once it's out next week. I feel like it's going to be pretty well received. I'm also looking forward very much to their upcoming club tour that they're going to be doing against me and Polar Bear Club. I think that's going to be awesome. Those dates are up on Punk News, by the way. That tour kicks off on March 9th in San Diego and goes all over the country, including a couple of Canadian dates, before wrapping up back in California and Hollywood on the 18th of April. That's going to be pretty insane.
I hear in the Canadian dates they're organizing a clean up your neighborhood day where they're going to be picking up trash.
I mean, I've never been to Montreal or Toronto, but they strike me as very clean cities in general, so I'm not sure it's necessary. But No?
I'm going to hate on Toronto just because that's sort of our national
I'll path. Tell you, dude, Vancouver is one clean and very, might I say, gorgeous town.
It's full of hippies, though, so they're always clean and stuff.
But dude, when you fly in there, it's so awesome because like it's between an ocean and mountains. It's like Narnia or something, you know?
Yeah, I've never actually been to Vancouver. I want to go there. It just hasn't happened. Canada's big. You often don't go places because it's really fucking big. But I don't know. Montreal was really clean when I was there. Toronto, Toronto's, I guess, clean. It's a big city. It has like, you know, general normal big city levels of grime, but there isn't trash all over the place. So I guess that's okay. The date in Toronto is like the day after my birthday too, so I kind of want to do that. I mean, this looks like a good tour. I haven't seen Against Me in a while, so I'd love to see Against Me again. Bad Religion, of course, will be great. The club that they played, I've seen them at, and I say club, but like they're playing the Cool House, and the Cool House is, I don't know, to me it's pretty huge. So I don't know. I'm used to seeing bands in bars, I guess. But anyways, they're playing the Cool House. They played there a million times. The last time we saw them there, they recently renamed it the Cool House from, oh God, whatever its old name was. It's driving me crazy. Greg, when he was on stage, he was making all kinds of jokes about the old name of the club, because the club, the way it used to work, had like these giant pillars that were holding the roof up that were like right in the way of the stage. So he was all thrilled that, oh, we come back and they've removed these pillars. And now I'm thinking about it, and I don't exactly know how they removed these load-bearing pillars and it's still a place, but they did. I need to find out the name of that venue because it's going to drive me crazy. So you guys talk. I'm going to look things up.
Well, here's I'm putting bets out now. Who wants to take this? Jimmy from Polar Bear Club will come out at, I'd say, almost every show to sing the rap from Let There Be War. I bet you it's going to happen.
I mean, that would be cool. I would back it, but is that really a song that Bad Religion is going to have in their set at this point in
their
career?
When they had Rise Against opening, they would have Tim come out and sing it.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. I didn't see that tour, so I... All right. I mean...
I'd like to see Laura Jane do it. That'd be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I like that song, and I like the little rap dealio. I mean, but then again, I like the Judgment Night soundtrack. So,
I saw Polar Bear Club for the first time a few weeks ago, playing with the Menzingers and the Flatliners, and I know no Polar Bear at all, but I was super entertained by their vocalist.
He's really talented. He's great.
He's quite the gymnast.
Yes, he's absolutely.
He's just super. You know, he's super into what he's doing, and he's like, I'm like, I don't know any of these songs. I wasn't even really registering the songs that they were playing, but I'm like, I like watching this guy. This is what I'm paying for. I want to see this guy do things.
They're one of those weird in between bands that can kind of tour with anybody in our scene. Like, they can tour with pop bands and it makes sense, and they can tour with Bad Religion and it makes sense. Although I feel like when they do like those like pop punk, more pop punk tours, like I feel like the kids don't really necessarily get it as much as people our age might, just because of what they're doing. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited because I haven't seen Bad Religion on a club tour, I don't think, ever. I think I've only ever seen them play at like Warped Tour or, you know, shitty radio festivals or, you know, things of that nature that are outdoors and don't sound good. And, you know, you're surrounded by fucking douchebags who are wearing cargo shorts and flip-flops and smell like weed and that kind of thing. So I'm really looking forward to, like, seeing them headline a show. And, I'm super excited for this. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yahey.
Yeah, yahey indeed. Yahey indeed. But, yeah, fucking, man, what a way to start 2013. I'm, like, extremely excited for new Bad Religion. You have no idea. But yeah, speaking of Bad Religion, they are going to be playing a festival that I know you two used to frequent, but haven't in a couple of years, Punk Rock Bowling. So that's happening.
You used to frequent Punk Rock Bowling, really?
Yeah, you and
Punk Rock. Waka Waka, he meant, I see what you did there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's happening, as it always does, Memorial Day weekend here in the United States, May 25th through 27th, or I think there's an extra day added onto that. It's usually a 4-day thing. I don't have it in front of me because I'm not prepared, but weekend passes go on sale on the 29th. In addition to Bad Religion, you've got a bunch of old punk bands like The Damned, DRI, Subhumans, Lower Class Brats, Bouncing Souls, Swingin' Utters, and the icing on the cake, in my opinion, is the Black Flag set, which is going to be Keith Morris, Chuck Dukowski, Bill Stevenson, and Stephen Egerton from The Descendants playing the music of Black Flag, which to me sounds fucking awesome, and I'm really jealous that I probably can't go, so... yeah, that's going to be really cool. And
I miss punk rock bowling. We haven't been in a while.
And not to sound like a dick here, but I miss kind of like what it used to be. I mean, when it became sort of a music festival, to me at least, it changed a little bit.
Yeah, no, you're right. It used to be far more. I can't say this without sounding like a complete.
Say it was industry. It was totally industry.
But it was totally industry, and you could, and oh god, I sound like a fucking asshole saying this, but you know, we could stand around in a hotel, and you know, the usual cast of characters for this, you know, you'd have like, you know, Virgil from Suburban Home would be sitting at the blackjack table, and you know, Skibo would be standing there, and Fat Mike would be standing there, and everyone would just kind of like be there, mingling in a non kind of fan relationship performer way. And it was cool. And, you know, we'd go to the bowling tournament, and it'd be really clear that, you know what, like the Epitaph guys and the Fat guys and the BYO guys are really fucking serious about bowling. So everyone would stay out of their way and let them do their thing. And the rest of us would all get drunk and have fun. And it was such a good time. And it was such like, it was the first time I really got to meet a lot of the Punk News staff. Like, it was the first place any of us like convened in the world. So We went, I don't know, we went what, 3 times, 4 times, something like that, but haven't been in a few years. And yeah, it's more of a music festival now. And I don't want to fault it at that, because like if it's going on and people know about it and it's going to have, you know, it's going to have a name and they're going to put out posters and shit about it, well, kids are going to want to go see these awesome bands. So I can't say, no, yeah. It's for us on the inside. Yeah. Cause that's kind of dickheady. So, you know, cool. It's a thing now. That Black Flag set looks amazing. Do they normally perform as the Flag?
No, as far as I know, this is just like a one-time thing, or it's the first time it's happening. Maybe not a one-time thing. It could happen again.
You think Hank will show up?
No.
I don't know. Only reason I say that is because I went to the the Rollins West Memphis 3 tour, and you know, Keith Morris would come out and do half the songs, and then Hank would do half the songs. So I know they at least have a good relationship.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's like a matter of them not having a good relationship. I think it's just him either not being interested in performing music live, that is Henry Rollins, or just him not being there because he's so busy with other bullshit, whether it's, you know, spoken word tours, books,
radio. Oh, he would hate punk rock bowling. I can just imagine the look of disgust on his face walking through the casino.
Yeah, I mean, can you really imagine him there? I mean, it's totally not his scene based on what I've heard about it and what I know about him. But, yeah, I don't think he's showing up. I mean, it would be incredible if he did. I mean,
what can I say? I didn't even look at him. Did you? What casino is hosting it this year? Is it back at Sam's?
I think it's downtown now, which is, hold on, let me look it up here. Because last year when they were talking about it, it was actually like they had a couple casinos that were listed as kind of like the hotel venues. And I think that's kind of why we were looking at it as less of an intimate thing too, is because it used to be, there was a casino that had the bowling alley and had basically all the rooms, and everyone was at the same place in the same kind of, you know, petri dish for the whole weekend. I think this year there's like the bowling is at like a specific bowl, and this is the way it worked last year. The bowling is at some bowling alley place that's in downtown Las Vegas, and then there's a couple hotels or something that are associated with it, but I don't think it's as centralized. I might be talking out of my ass, but I'm pretty sure that's the case now.
Man, the memories there. I mean, Brian, I almost got married there 1 year.
I think I remember hearing something about that.
We were tired
that night, and we didn't want to have to make that, you know, because we were just like, get on with this marriage. And then it was like 4 a.m, which for us on the East Coast is like 1 a.m. And it just, we're like, Chris, come on.
Yeah, it was a good decision to not follow through with that.
Although sold a man.
I think at one point we asked Fat Mike if he would get indoctrinated online into it, and he just looked at me and was like, "You don't want to get married."
Realized was that becoming indoctrinated online might take just while easy, probably isn't instant. So, you know, you may have to email someone and they email you back. It's like it's not just like you fill out a web form and then you're indoctrinated.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
Speaking of people who are against people getting married, Brian, why don't you talk about the For Today guitarist?
Actually, let's break for a song first.
All right, we're coming back with that, though, because stick around.
So we've got a song from somebody who is not on this roundtable, because whatever, fuck them. But we're going to do that, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about this For Today guy. So stick around.
Hey there, this is editor John Flynn hitting you with a new song. This time I've got a jam from Boston punks The Radicals off their brand new EP, Suburban Daydream. The track is called What Happens to Me, and I hope you like it.
Suburban Daydream.
right, so that was a song. Welcome back to the Punk News Podcast Roundtable. Once again, I'm Brian. I'm here with Adam and Chris. Before the song, Chris kind of teased the whole story, this ongoing saga of former For Today guitarist Mike Reynolds, who went on Twitter, apparently without provocation, as far as we know, and spouted a bunch of anti-gay tweets, saying, you know, that homosexuality is a sin, blah, blah, blah. There's no such thing as a gay Christian, the same as there is no such thing as a Christian who loves his sin, so on and so forth. This guy tweeted all this stuff. There was obviously an almost overwhelmingly negative outpouring of disgust toward him for doing this. And as such, he has left the band, or not. I don't think we're sure if he left or if he was kicked out. But then the vocalist, who his name escapes me, released some weird YouTube video and gave out his personal phone number, where he encouraged people to call him to talk about this issue, which is a little short-sighted, but also sort of admirable in a way. It's gotten messy in a hurry, and I don't know. I don't really know what to think of this, except that that guy's got problems, and I don't know. I just don't get it. Like, why even? Like, you know, I'm all for free speech, but why even come out and say that just apropos of nothing? Unless somebody stoked his ire and we don't know about it, and he kind of decided that Twitter was the proper platform for that. I'm not really sure, but yeah. You guys have any thoughts on this at all?
I didn't even listen to the song. I should have, because then I could have made some snide comment. Adam?
I mean, if you're talking about For Today's music, it's pretty run-of-the-mill, you know, bullshit Christian metalcore, so yeah. You're not really missing anything.
Oh.
I'm a little bit curious what's behind, or what's more of the history behind this, because, you know, we said that he took to Twitter and then put this giant opinion that clearly couldn't fit in a tweet, so I'm not exactly sure how all this came together. I don't know. I'm happy that I got to watch a Patton Oswalt thing that we linked. That was fun.
Yeah.
This dude kind of sounds like a dickbag to me, and that's, you know, sucks to be him. I've been amused by watching the comments during this whole thing, because inevitably, you know, someone says one of these like super intolerant jackass things, and then, but because it's, you know, it's based on like a religious belief, then everyone kind of gets in and like, well, if you're respecting free speech, you have to respect his right to be a complete fucking dickhead. And I don't know, I always find that amusing, because I don't know, I don't feel like I'm oppressing this guy to say that his, you know, dinosauric view on sexuality is in any way relevant. But I don't know, that's just me. I'm a, you know, I'm some sort of Canucko fascist kind of thing, so I don't really.
I think it's dumb. I think it's, you know, the whole thing, like you put it perfectly. I mean, this guy isn't being oppressed. Like he is actually he is probably in a majority more so than these people who think that he who are implying that he's being oppressed are. And it's, you know, come on.
I'm going to comment on Adam's comment about being dinosauric, because technically, you know, closer to the dinosaurs, people were down with homosexuality. So you might want to think of a new comment. The Romans, eh?
I mean, saying the Romans are closer to the dinosaurs, it's true, don't get me wrong, but we're really playing with fucking weird scales of time here. Okay, more important than this guy's jackass comments, the Cool House in Toronto used to be called The Warehouse in the 90s. Thank you to Wade McNeil of Gallows for telling me that.
All right.
There we go. Okay, no. What about the response video that this other band posted? We've got the link up on Punk News. The name of the band is The Sheds. They're a pop punk band. the video that they post is called Ignorance is Bliss. It's a lyric video, which is unfortunate for humanity, but that's, you know, nothing to say about the message. It's just a bad part. And what I'm trying to figure out, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong here, they really made it sound, or at least our article, again, really makes it sound like this video was released as like a response to the For Today guys' jerkitude. That doesn't really make a lot of... That doesn't line up to me.
No, it doesn't. This, I mean...
Like, song recorded. It's not like they rushed to the studio and recorded a whole album in the course of a week when someone went on Twitter and said something stupid. So it's a little bit opportune, I guess, to go, hey, here's our response. It happens to be a well-produced song and video.
Yeah, it strikes me as very opportunistic, and I don't back it. I don't.
So, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, again, voice your opinion, get in his face. That's cool. I'm all for, you know, discourse. But yeah, it seemed a little weird to say that this was like a response video. So,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. The wording is a little off, I think, but, you know, whatever. This band will go away in a couple of weeks, and no one will hear about them again, so it doesn't really matter, I guess. Right?
I didn't even know Media Scare Records were still around. Huh.
Oh, yeah, man.
I gotta say, this song does something that drives me more nuts than anything in music, and it's with these pop punk bands where they have, like, I don't know, they've got, like, they've got the newfound glory vocalist or whatever you call that style, where they have like a very kind of like high, clean voice. And he starts where he just sings like the first couple lines of the song before the rest of the band kicks in. And you just kind of get like the top of the dude's range through it. And it's just like, I hate this. Like, pop bands did this post Blink-182 in the 90s when they were trying to like, you know, sound super appealing to 16-year-old girls. I'm like, like, just don't do that, bands.
Yeah, it's
knock it off.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how that's kind of come back.
It throws me completely out of a song when bands do that. And there's bands that I actually think are actually quite good, but they have that thing in the vocals, and I just can't get over it. Like Junior Battles out of Toronto, right? I think they're a good band. They write pretty good, you know, they write hooky songs. Their stuff is, you know, it's pretty propulsive when you're listening to it. It's, yeah. You know, but, they have that thing in the vocals, the same thing. I feel like I shouldn't be listening to this. Like a Fall Out Boy song is next, and I don't want that. So.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah. I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Hopefully that whole scene kind of just goes by the wayside in 2013. I have a feeling it won't, but I hope it does. But, yeah.
But so. I mean, also, like, you know, these cool that these guys are, you know, making some sort of stance on equal rights and everything. That's
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's no faulting them for that. Absolutely not. But, you know.
Everyone sucks. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. One guy makes a shitty comment, and then some shitty band comes and tries to, I mean, let's be honest, they try to profit off of this guy's shitty comment with one of their shitty songs. And that's more or less the state of punk in 2013. Good night, everybody.
All right, well, let's play a not shitty song.
We hope. We don't really know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. But we've got a second song. Could be the last, probably not the last, but we'll play another song for you right now, and then we'll come back and talk about some more junk, so stick around.
All right, this is Punk News editor Andy Waterfield, and I've got a track for you from Mike Filumley this week. This particular track is called The Ballad of Hero, and it's taken from Mike's four-track Heroes-themed concept EP, Mike Filumley Is My Hero, which you can track down at his Bandcamp page. Anyway, yeah, this is Mike Filumley, and the track's called The Ballad of Hero. I really hope you enjoy it, and I hope you all have a good week. Cheers.
Through time and space, so far from where you started, you're on a race to find the cheerleader. And- of what's to come.
Punk News Podcast Roundtable. Once again, I am Brian. I'm here with Chris and with Adam. We have even more stories to get to. More bands were added to Warped Tour. Who cares? Goldfinger is one of them. That band sucks. For the Foxes, New Year's Day, Out of Sight, Stephen Jacobs, and Defeater were also added. The tour kicks off on June 15th, as I'm sure you know, because it gets mentioned on the show every week because you crazy kids comment on it. The more interesting thing, I think, is this weird website that the Warped Tour has also launched, Vixlet. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it is. They have trademarked it as the future of emotional media. I'm just going to read the little paragraph here they have on their website, and it goes, quote, "Don't be fooled by its simple yet appealing design. Vixlet was created in a white-hot forge, fueled by tiger blood and crafted by hybrid Viking ninjas.
Jesus Christ.
Arts of awesome. At least that's how I painted it on the side of my van." So I have not signed up for an invite for this. It probably sucks.
Easiest sounding thing ever.
Just annoys me. Like, I'm irrationally annoyed by this, and I really can't pinpoint why, but I suppose it's something to do with verbiage I just read.
It sounds like some 45-year-old advertising exec who asked his 11-year-old daughter, like, what's cool right now, and just fucking threw it up in a paragraph.
Yeah, I don't know. It just really rubs me the wrong way, and I don't know. Yeah. If anybody has one of these profiles, please send me a link, Brian, B-R-Y-N-E, @punknews.org. I would love to see it. I'm not going to sign up for one myself on moral grounds.
What the shit is emotional media?
I don't know. I don't know. That's what vexes me about this whole thing, is that emotional media, like, what the hell does that mean? It's just two words put together that sound good but don't actually mean anything when put together. That's my takeaway from this.
I think we need to start treating our staffers more like interns and do mean shit like sign one of them up right now. You're going to learn about this whether you like it or not. It's journalism.
Yeah, that's
this is what this is. I'm just going to read this live because I don't even know if it'll be any good, but here I found it. So this is an article from the 14th from Forbes. Moving beyond social, emotional media to power the Warped Tour. So they have, let's see here, Los Angeles, da, 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 da. Let's see, what's emotional media? What is emotional media? Believing that there is a life, believing that there was life of the internet beyond social, the Divide 9 team pondered over social media, where it has brought us, and where we could go beyond Twitter and Facebook. Why don't we think that will happen after? Why don't we think through what will happen after social media, said the person who's being interviewed. The concept of emotional media is hinged on the idea that people are looking to connect with more depth beyond a retweet, like, or share. The idea that social media in its current state has left people with a pretty flat experience and left craving something more. From a brand standpoint, it's media that will actually engage audiences. It stirs something inside you and makes you want to act.
Now I want to punch you.
Let's see. How is the Warped Tour from blah, 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 blah.
Can we talk about what kind of fucking relevance Goldfinger has on this goddamn tour? I mean, seriously.
I thought I was going to read Forbes articles to people. Isn't that what we do in this show? I don't know what the fuck this is, even from this article. It's bullshit. Yeah, Goldfinger. What the hell?
I mean, really? I mean, unless they're going to play the first set that was, I think it was self-titled. You know, I'm not interested. Play that. Play Mabel and get the fuck off stage.
I mean, honestly, right? They probably are going to play that. I mean, why wouldn't they?
It's not like anybody... he's like a crazy. Isn't he like a crazy like animal rights nut now?
Oh yeah, man. Didn't you ever listen to Open Your Eyes, that record?
No, I didn't. But I've heard all the shit about him.
So bad. Yeah, I mean, it's strange, but it seems like every year Warped Tour has a couple of like older bands on the bill that kind of appeal to people who were around when Warped Tour was still kind of okay, like in the mid and late 90s. And oddly enough, at least in the Warped Tours that I've been to, which have been more recent than I'm comfortable admitting, people still show up and watch those bands, man. Fucking, I went to Warped Tour 2 years ago and Real Big Fish played, and there were legitimately at least 1,000 people watching them, if not more. It was weird. It was surreal. So there's still a market for that in terms of, like, you know, shitty outdoor festivals. Like, people who like Goldfinger still want to go see Goldfinger at these things. I don't know why they do, but they do. And yeah, they probably will play Mabel and most of the self-titled record, and maybe some stuff from Hang Ups, and they'll get off the stage, and that'll be that. But, you know, there's still people there who want to see that, unfortunately.
So aside from, like, I guess Defeater, who people like, and that's cool, is there anyone playing this tour that we would give a shit about at all?
I think we summed this up last time with a resounding no.
Yeah, well, so there's been announcements and stuff. Like, maybe there's someone lost in the shuffle.
I would say so far no, but it's still very, very early, and a bunch more bands are going to be announced. I mean, who knows? Yeah, there could be something that's kind of weird or okay. It was weird a couple years ago when Lucero played Warped Tour, right? I wasn't alone in thinking that they did that.
Yeah, there's weirdness all around here.
just emotional media. That's more than anything else. But yeah, so that's a thing. Anyway.
Yeah, Warped Tour. Woo.
Yeah, Warped Tour. Fuck it. Talking about someone who hopefully is not playing Warped Tour this year, although we don't know yet, is Frank Turner, who's
going
to put out a new album in April. Tape Deck Heart is going to come out on April 22nd in Europe. I assume a North American release date will be somewhere around there, if not the same week, either the week before or the week after. So we have the track listing and cover art of Punk News. There's going to be a deluxe edition with 6 bonus tracks, including a song called Wherefore Art Thou Gene Simmons, which is...
I've heard that song.
I'm pretty excited to hear that. And yeah, this is probably going to be good. England Keep My Bones was really great. Poetry of the Deed, also pretty great. Everything else he did before he was on Epitaph, mostly pretty awesome. You know, he's an extremely talented guy, and I always look forward to whatever he's up to, whatever he's doing, and everything else. So, are you guys excited for this for some new Frank Turner songs?
We are gonna get Frank on this show. I will make it happen. We tried to make it happen last year, and it didn't. It will happen this year, because yes, he's just a funny motherfucker too.
Yeah,
all around, he's the consummate entertainer.
I really want him on this show. So
he's played Wembley. So that, I don't know if he's too big for the Lowly Punk News podcast.
No, come on.
No. You know what? When he played, I saw him earlier this year. He opened for Joel Plaskett in St. Catharines, and I didn't even know he was playing the show. It was like I was going to see this Canadian indie rock artist that only I give a shit about in terms of the punk news community, and it was like Frank Turner walks out and starts opening, and I'm like, what? Okay. And it was awesome. But he played at that show. He played Broken Piano, and he played Wherefore Art Thou, Gene Simmons. And okay. Broken Piano was pretty, it was, if I'm recalling the songs right, pretty somber, pretty mellow, pretty, it's an album closing kind of song, which makes sense for where it is in this track listing. Wherefore Art Thou, Gene Simmons was about Gene the womanizer.
Oh.
So it's more about Gene made some comment at one point about how many women he had slept with, and that number factors into the song if I recall correctly. So that's all I know, but yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah, so that should be great.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else to talk about? I think that's the last thing we have on our list.
Yeah.
It's a late week.
Yeah.
It's a little late. The music industry is not quite completely woken up yet from the holidays. Usually that happens about first week of February or so. But yeah. So.
Well, hey, I'm just going to steal this show to plug our blog then, because that's what I'm going to do. So, yeah. All right. So Punk News, sure. It's a website. You go there about punk rock. That's not important to you anymore. This is what's important to you. Myself, Mr. Rich Verducci, who you, the Punk News podcast listenership, knows and loves. Joe Pallone, who was our reviews editor, and Ben Connolly, who was a news editor on the site a few years ago. We all had a bunch of babies. So we decided that we were going to write about having a bunch of babies and what that is doing to our lives on the internet. So we started a really crappy blog called Dad's Not Punk. And you can go to www.dadsnotpunk.com, and we are we're daddy blogging. We're writing our crappy parenting experiences on the internet. So you want to read that because it's amusing. We have a really high, swear word to useful information ratio at this point. So that's encouraging. So there you go. It's dadsnotpunk.com. So we're blogging, crappy parenting advice there. So you should go see that.
All right.
You guys want to unplug anything since we're plugging stuff? I'm trying to sell a couch or something, or
no, I don't have a couch to sell, but if anybody has a couch they want to sell to me.
You don't want any of my couches, dude.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I was just trying to be coy and funny, but they're actually probably pretty good quality and
gross.
What do I have to plug? And I think I'm going to play a song from this next week, but Snuff has a new record out. I didn't even know they were coming out with a new record. It hasn't been released yet. I just heard the promo for it, but I love Snuff, and I'm glad they put some new music out. It's actually not bad. So yeah. We probably haven't been reporting much on it because, Snuff just kind of, they're not they just kind of do their thing, but
yeah, they're not really a band.
I'm pretty stoked about it though. It's good. I think the kids will like it.
Yeah. I got a promo of it as well, but I haven't listened to it yet. I should probably get on that.
They always had the best songs on all those old fat compilations.
They did. That's my immediate association with them is the fat comps. It's like, yeah, they had some pretty good songs on those. I don't think I've ever heard one of their records start to finish, honestly. But they're always one of my faves on those comps for sure. But that sounds great. I don't have anything to plug. I tried to think of something. I can't think of anything. I have nothing going on. I'm just working a lot, and nobody who listens to the show is going to care about what it is. And so fuck that. Fuck recommendations. I don't have anything to say about it. So I guess that's pretty much the end of the show, or at least the end of the roundtable. I don't think we have another song. So I guess that'll be it. I'll probably be back. No, I will be back. Sorry. To wrap up the show.
I was just saying, don't end it, Brian.
I'm going to end it right now.
This got really depressing.
So thanks for listening. I'll be back in a second to plug all of our punk news related things. And that's it. This was fun. Thanks, guys.
Yo, punk news. This is features editors John Gentile, and I'm here to bring you another, yet again, we doing it again, one more time, a worldwide punk news exclusive. Today's worldwide punk news exclusive comes from Neo Mythics. They're a pretty new band. They're actually a duo. It's a bunch of established musicians that have been around a while, but it's only two guys. This is their first album. The album is called New Corporate Resistance. It's a pretty interesting mix of sort of like post-punk, but also some like sounds of The Police, also some sounds of Joy Division, also some sounds of U2 even, but it all fits together pretty well to create like a spacey, cold, kind of scary, emotionless texture that really has a neat, rocking, English post-punk energetic bottom end. It's pretty cool. This is off their brand new album called New Corporate Resistance. The band is called Neo Mythics, and this track is called Barefoot Bandit. Check it out.
Gives it back to them. All that
is all for the Punk News Podcast. Thanks for listening. It was a lot of fun. I'm really into the new format. If you have any feedback, positive or negative, about our new format, please, please, please send it to us. podcast@punknews.org. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook, as well as pretty much any other social media hub you can think of. And of course, you can leave your comments on the website itself at punknews.org under every one of our stories. So thanks for listening. Thanks to Scotty at Death to False Hope for the theme music. Thanks to Nariman for the production and doing a wonderful job as always. Thanks to all the bands and labels for letting us play your music on the show. And we'll be back next week. It should be a good one. So until then, this has been the Punk News Podcast for the week of January 15th, 2013.